Fast Cars, Fast Girls is presented in front of a live studio audience. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Cut it off, Brian.
Somebody who wasn't reading the room.
And some of our good friends at Indy 500 Pirate and Debbie, who gets to go by her real name.
She's Love Coke.
She loves Coke.
It's not cocaine either, by the way.
I was going to say, that seems like a dicey username. We've already had to remove substances from the table once during this taping.
It's the porch review.
It is the porch review, which I do want to make a point and say that this
golf
episode
golf
is actually presented by White Rabbit Coffee in Bloomington, Indiana. So thank you, White Rabbit, for your support and for all of your copy needs, or if you're doing some graphic design needs, anything of that nature, make sure you get in touch with White Rabbit Copy, local out of Bloomington, Indiana. So, all right. All that said, we should probably warm up these tires.
Warm up the tires real quick. We'll run through just like two sentences of news, and then we're going to hit it. Porch review of the Desert Diamond Phoenix Grand Prix. And then we'll, like, talk about Long Beach, because it's next weekend, because we are in the middle of things.
Can I interject one thing? Why we call it a Grand Prix when it's on an oval?
Thank you very much. These are thoughts that I have.
Thank you.
I mean, why do you call it a Grand Prix when you're from Indiana?
Because I took French.
Who's French?
I took French.
Your mom's French.
It's going to be a fun episode. It's going to be a lot of fun for me to
edit. We're off to a great start.
It's going to be a lot of fun for me to edit.
What time in the morning is this?
I will say, it's 2:16 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Yeah, and we're drinking Pirate Punch.
Indeed we are. So, warning.
Warning.
This episode may be under the influence of alcohol. This podcast may be influenced by Pirate Punch.
Just a little bit. All right, two things of news. First of all, in British GT3, the pole was won by a woman this year for the first time in the history of the series, and it's Flick Hay. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce her name.
GP3?
Yes. GT3.
Oh, GT3. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about F1.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, GT3, which is it's a British touring series.
Yes. Oh, okay. It's like the
like DTM.
Yeah, DTM. Yeah, or
but it's like a ladder series.
I didn't know they had that. Where can we find this at?
The internet.
Well,
I'm serious.
Our Twitter, because we tweeted it in real time.
Thanks a lot for paying attention to our tweets there, Brian.
Yeah, I know. I'm down with it.
Anyway, she Flick Hay and her male co-driver, so they've got two drivers, won the pole. They also went on to win the series, the full series, so that's the first time in the series history that a woman has won the British GT.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome.
That's a big deal.
That's pretty awesome, and I will say that quite a few people, and it started with the British GT, and I will say hashtag shots fired, tweeted directly at Carmen Jorda, and were like, tell us again how women aren't equal in motorsports. As soon as she got the pole and when they won, like the British GT social media went after Carmen Jorda. So that was pretty fucking awesome.
The second big piece of news that everybody at this table should be excited about is Mark Miles again said there will be bumping at the Indianapolis 500.
Oh hell yeah, there is. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
So everybody who can say there's not going to be bumping,
stop.
Stop. Calm down. Calm your tits. I don't want to read about it anymore.
I don't want to hear this stuff about... Can I interject?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Thank you. That there's going to be... they're going to put 36 cars or 37 cars in the field.
No, they're not going to
fucking
do that.
Right.
There's not... And here's why. And I don't know if I've explained this on the podcast or not, but fiscally, it's not smart for them to. Now, sponsor-wise, for sponsors...
And I understand what you're saying.
It's way better for them to not have bumping. Because
to throw everybody in the field.
Exactly, because you invest all this money, and then if they don't make the field, then you don't get all that
advertising. So do we want somebody 20 miles an hour under the...
Exactly.
Under the pole speed?
But
no.
So fiscally, for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and for IndyCar as a series, the most drivers that you really have in a race is 33. So you're gaining like extra sponsorship. So your set sponsors, they're not really going to be affected by this. And is the purse going to be any bigger with more cars?
No.
Is the track going to get more money with more cars?
No.
No.
But
and so fiscally, there's no. It's not smart for the IMS, and it's not smart for IndyCar to do
but
that. For the
we'll go into this, but we'll throw somebody in that's could be the 33rd qualifier if we only had 33, and won't mention any names, but that car may not have a sponsor till race weekend, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
So why should they be here? I mean, if you can throw a legitimate pole speed out within the percentage that they're saying that needs to be,
100%.
Then you need to be there.
Yeah. But if somebody's like hobbling yeah. together and they're slow.
Well, and I'll tell you what I don't, yeah, exactly. And what I don't ever want to see again is, what was it, 3 years ago when we had those two Lotus cars that were 32
night.
And 33.
And they
you got fucking disqualified immediately. They did the parade lap and then just parked it.
Well, there was one. There was only
it was
one.
Two.
I think was there two?
It was
I thought
two.
It was only one.
No, it was the back
because
two.
They and they actually took team. There was supposed to be bumping that year. Do you remember
there
that?
There was, and we didn't
have
enough.
And they took them out. The Speedway, I hate to say it that way, under the table said, "Don't bring your car. Don't put that third car out here or fourth car or whatever."
Which is dumb because they allowed those teams to come in and they didn't even race the race.
They did one lap and then
and
parked
they were immediately disqualified because they were not within. What is it? IndyCar. It's either 105 or 110%.
Yeah,
I just saw it the other day.
I can't even do the math on
it. But anyhow, whatever it is, 105 or 110% of the leader, they couldn't even make it. I mean, their qualifying speeds were 210 at best. So I definitely don't want to see that again. I'd rather see too many cars than too few and see that bullshit again.
So it's happening. Stop it, Internet. It's
yeah,
happening.
We're having bumping. It's a thing.
Mark Miles has now said it twice. Twice.
Twice.
Twice he said we're going
to
have bumping.
I watched him on
the Internet
Business
Journal
the other day, and he pretty much said it's going to happen. So
yeah, no, it's happening.
It's happening. Speaking of bumping.
Speaking of bumping.
Something
we've been talking about since our interview in November. James Davison, who is a... So James Davison, who is a Fast Cars, Fast Girls favorite.
Yes.
And has been since November, and we had that great interview with him.
Hashtag check our Twitter.
Hashtag link in bio. It is not official yet.
Rumored.
But it is rumored and highly speculated. And so you can go ahead and say you heard it here first that James Davison will be qualifying for the 102nd Indianapolis 500. You did hear it first. I'm not saying this is official by any means, but I'm just saying if I was a betting woman, I'd say it's a safe bet.
I would too.
Rumored to be with Bird Racing, mm-hmm. Jonathan Bird, mm-hmm. out of Greenwood, Indiana.
That would be Chevrolet power then, you
it
said,
would
right?
be because all the Hondas are spoken for, so it will have to be a Chevy engine.
You said Honda? There's a Honda.
Honda for you. We're pretty sure it's going to be the third AJ Foyt car.
The third Foyt car. So.
Which is about the only nice thing we have to say about Foyt.
So what did Foyt have in previous years?
He had
that
had
third
three.
Car. Right, but he wasn't a. It wasn't.
It was not Bird.
No, but it wasn't sponsored by his regular sponsor. It was sponsored by somebody else.
Yeah, it probably was. Last year,
Last 2 years, Ted Leoni drove it, wasn't it?
He drove it 2 years ago. Last year,
it wasn't sponsored by.
Last year was Veach, sponsored by the Indiana Woman in Technology. Golf
yes.
thing.
Okay, it was sponsored by.
And then Tagliani's
a different group or some kind of group that had a. They had a black and orange.
It's not
which
the,
Foyt
it's
loves
not,
that car, the black and orange, because he
but
drove
it's not
that many years.
ABC.
No,
supply,
it wasn't ABC.
So you heard it here first. You're going to see Davison qualifying for the 2018 Indianapolis 500.
What do you think number he's going to run?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what's interesting about Davison is that he's run the Indy 500 3 years, and he's mm-hmm. never had more than 10 days notice. So he hasn't actually he's never gotten in all the practice days and the qualifying like everybody else. He's actually only qualified during qualifications one of his three runs. And he has raced well. This past year he didn't finish, cause he was involved in an accident. But during the race, I feel like he races well and I feel like he does well overall. And so I think that having the full month's practice and the ability to do all of that, I'm going to say at least in the teens, if not higher.
I think so.
I mean, I would say out of 33, I think he's going to be mid-teens, 15, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's even closer to 10.
So where are we? What are you thinking about? We don't have a clue what we're going to be running in May yet for speeds.
We don't know weather.
Because they were supposed to have the practice session...
Exactly.
in mid-March, and now we're like going into the second weekend of April, and we still don't have a clue what we're going to be running in May yet.
No, we don't. And honestly, I'm actually kind of happy that they canceled those sessions because it's so much cooler than it is in May.
That session in April that was supposed to be in March, you get nothing out of that. By the way, right now in Indianapolis, it's freaking cold.
It snowed.
It's 27 degrees.
Yeah. And we would hope that by another month,
it's not
27 degrees at 2 o'clock in the morning.
But it might be. But it might be.
This winter won't end. This is actually spring and it won't end.
No, it won't end. I'm actually glad that those practices didn't happen.
Yeah.
We go on to Phoenix.
Yep. Let's review Phoenix.
Phoenix.
So practice sessions. I think the practice sessions, I don't put too much merit in them.
No, they didn't. They were not indicative at all.
No. Point case, Charlie Kimball had the fastest time the last practice. And the last time that anybody fucking expected Charlie Kimball to do well. Well. It was probably his mom.
Him and Paris Chilton.
Oh. Yeah.
As Doug says it.
Yeah.
The Carlin boys.
Yeah, Paris Chilton.
Yeah. They didn't do great. Well. They did not do great.
Yeah.
They, in fact, did not do well.
Yeah. So, qualifying, the two Frenchmen just ran the board. Bourdais was actually the last to qualify, and Pagenaud sat on that pole for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And then Bourdais came and just stole it right out from underneath him. So, and then Will was in third.
Mm-hmm. And then Rossi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rossi was in fourth. So, I mean, pretty packed front end. And what's funny about that is that only one of the four of them even finished in the top 10.
Yep.
So, I guess qualifying wasn't too indicative either.
No, it was.
Well, I know it wasn't when I made my fantasy IndyCar picks. I'll tell you that.
Bourdais had a pit penalty.
Bourdais and Rossi both had pit penalties. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I'll say this again, so we're moving on into the race. I'm surprised that Wickens didn't have a pit penalty because he should have. So, Bourdais had a penalty because he hit his front left tire guy.
Yeah.
And
he recovered very well.
He did. And I will say that we were listening on the radio and Bourdais was asking about him and was very concerned about him, and his crew chief was like, he's fine, focus on the task at hand. But Bourdais was very concerned about him and felt bad about it. And, you know, the Rossi pit thing, he came and his tires locked up. He just kind of slid in, and we were listening on the radio at that time as well. And he said in true Rossi form, sorry. And that was it.
Wait a minute.
You watched him just skirt in. And
you said it too loud.
Sorry. And, true Rossi form. And so they both got penalized because Rossi didn't make it all the way into his pit box. Bourdais hit somebody, and that's definitely against the rules. But Wickens, during the same pit where Bourdais hit one of his crew members, he was over the front line. He was not in his pit box, and he either ran over a hose or damn near ran over a hose. So that's an equipment penalty as well. So he should have had a drive-through as well. Mm-hmm. And I say that as a Wickens fan. But again, this is where Race Control pisses me off because they don't enforce things across the board.
Right. It's not, it's 100% draw a line. Yep.
Yeah. It's like you either enforce everything or you enforce nothing. Like you can't just pick and choose because Wickens had a pit penalty, same as Rossi and Bourdais did. And obviously it did not affect Rossi's run. He still did well. And Bourdais, I mean, the reason that he didn't do well wasn't because of that penalty. It was because of his pit strategy in general.
And what also was interesting, in practice and quals, turn three gave the drivers the most issues, but in the race, it was turn four.
It was.
So turn three snapped a lot of people. Both RHR got kind of squirrely, got up in there. Cars were snapping loose. And then, and one of the things they kept talking about was that high line to get passing through. And I know a lot of people were concerned that we weren't going to have passing in this race and that it was just going to be follow the leader. And it was the middle part of the race.
For a little bit it was.
But there was passing. The problem is people focus on that front part, that front top three, and they want all of the passing to happen in your first three runs. And you really have to watch back in the field because when they pit, the leaders pit, and then they work their way back up, that's passing. Rossi passed, I think I saw the statistic, 19% of the passes from this race were Rossi when he worked his way back up to the front of the field.
Oh, I believe that.
That's passing. Now, the high line wasn't what they thought it was going to be, unfortunately.
It's not
going
to be.
And no, it's that not second groove.
Yeah, no, really it's never going to. The track's not wide enough.
And they really wanted, like, they were trying to lay rubber down and everything.
Well, you know
what?
Take those road course wings off.
Yeah.
And then put the oval wings on the cars. That's my opinion. Go back in history and look. We didn't run course wings on those cars then.
They had to remove two of the front.
And I understand the downforce issue.
Yeah. Well, they have to remove part of the road course
wings. Right. They had to take off the several of the elements, is what they said.
Yeah. It's like a weird Frankenstein hybrid.
Right.
But, yeah, that was interesting that everybody was thought that there wasn't going to be passing. Well, there actually was passing.
There was a lot of passing.
There was
passing.
A lot
I mean,
of passing.
The
Joseph Newgarden, he put some...
That was some
awesome passing.
Yeah.
On the outside.
Yeah, he was.
Not on the inside.
He was taking everybody on the outside. That was super exciting. The last green flag of the race, I mean, till the end, I mean, that was just on your feet yelling.
Oh, this has to do with the race, but also has to do, we talked about earlier, they changed the qualifying, so now it's like the entrant point, and we weren't quite sure how that was going to affect Ed.
Yeah.
It counts just the car number.
Okay.
Yeah, so the way Ed qualified, it was where Jordan King played.
So it's the car, not
it's
the driver.
It's the car, not the driver, and it was a weird...
Because that would have put him at the back of the pack, then, because he was first time race. Yeah.
And it was a weirdly written rule, and all the rules weren't really...
Well, let's change the rules, then.
Well, they need somebody who knows how to write a rule.
Right.
I'm just... That's what I do for a living.
Molly's up for grabs.
Just don't go back
She's
to USAC.
She's really good at that.
Hey, Jay Fry, just hit me up. It's fine.
She's just, real good at policy. I
just
can
don't go
that.
Back in U.S. the USAC.
No. We're starting all the way over. Also, there was only 0.2990 seconds that separated the first from fifth in qualifying. So it was close in quals.
It really was close in quals.
It was. Did you notice in the second practice? So I guess they started off with like a pit stop practice.
They did.
Yeah, Ed didn't apparently know that. He sat on the rest of the pit stop practice, not the
Yes.
practice.
Yes.
All right, you two are whispering about...
No, just talking about they did the same thing at Gateway with the practice, pit stop practice, and they made it sound like it was going to involve something.
And it was just practice.
And
it was just practice.
It was nothing.
And it got you nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a show.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Like, at least our pit stop challenge, like, we announced that it's a fucking pit stop challenge.
Well, you know, I would really like to see the crowd show up at that race.
Which race?
At Phoenix.
I couldn't see the crowd from the TV.
It didn't look good.
Did it not?
Okay. No, it did not.
I did not pay
I'll tell you why. Country Thunder is this weekend. Everybody that is anywhere near Phoenix is at this huge, like, 4-day-long country music festival.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just had taxi cabs, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, they have an e-car the same weekend as they have a huge country music festival in the fucking Southwest. You're not going to win against
that. Well, and then what state are we talking about?
Arizona.
Right. And guess what's going on in Vegas this weekend? The Four Wide Nationals.
Oh, that's right.
So you're not, it's the same general area.
Yeah.
And I'm an open wheel fan.
I mean, you can get a ticket to, you can get a round trip to Vegas from Phoenix for under $100.
Right. But I'm just saying, it's just, if you're an open wheel fan, what am I going to go see? I'm going to see four cars drag race against each other or two Indy cars. And last year's race sucked.
Yeah.
Be honest with you. I hate it. I hated it.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad because IndyCar can do much better than that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
So, yeah, they're up against the drag racing and they're up against Country Thunder. And this weekend is just never going to win for them at Phoenix.
No. Oh.
But the owner does say, not the owner, the general manager saying that he wants to keep IndyCar, which is a great
sign. That's fine,
sign.
But he needs to do it a different weekend.
Well, they got a sponsor and we'll see what the TV numbers come up to be.
True. The TV numbers might be better.
The sponsors.
I would also like to add that Marco's throwback livery to Mario did not help him out at all this weekend.
I think it helped him out just as much as changing his number did.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nothing.
Nothing.
He had like a huge issue.
Because that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, I said that at the beginning of the season when he changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And so did thousands of other people, too.
So did everybody.
Everybody.
Who knew? Veach struggled this race.
Veach did struggle. Can we talk about how, well, just some of the funny things we heard over the radio?
Yeah, we can do that.
I'll say early on, Kimball was very upset about the understeer of the car, and it almost sounded like he was crying.
And then he also said there's no rear grip.
There's no front grip.
There's no front grip. So apparently there was no grip to Charlie Kimball's car.
Carlin Racing will change this. You know they have the finances to do that.
They have the
right?
capacity
they
do. To change
They need
it.
An
they
engineer.
Have
they
the
need
money.
An engineer because him and Paris Chilton did not do well at all.
They did not. No. They were like 17th and 18th.
And I'm sorry I'm calling Paris Chilton.
That's fine.
That, so, but we're under the influence of alcohol, right?
Yes.
They need to get an engineer.
Something needs to change.
Because they did well at, not super well, but they did good at when they were with Ganassi.
Yeah.
Right?
I think they did better than this when they were with Ganassi.
Oh, yeah. They weren't the back of the pack.
I think Chilton did for sure.
They weren't the back of the pack.
Kimball did okay.
Kimball, I mean, I think that Kimball's going to be the same no matter where he is. I think that he has just really honed in on this awesome level of mediocrity. And no matter how good or bad his equipment is, no matter how good or bad his engineers are, he's just going to rise to the level of mediocrity that is his racing career. Sorry, Alex. I know you love him.
I can't say anything bad.
That's all right.
I'm not. The thing is, I think that he's a nice guy.
Yes. I love all the drivers.
Well, yeah. And I think that he's a really good guy. I do think that he's a really good guy, and I think that he's great with fans, and I think there's a lot of reasons why he still has a ride, and one of those is that he is so personable. Mm-hmm. But I just think that, I don't know, I feel like this race wasn't that much worse than he did last season.
Okay, I was like, wait, you need more.
Yeah, than he did last season, so I feel like it's, you know, it's not that much worse than he did last season, so... And Chilton, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He was yelling about some understeer issues. He was yelling about all kinds of shit. But it's really hard to understand with his accent sometimes because he's a really fast talker, like me.
He was pretty upset last year at Pocono.
Yeah.
When they parked him.
It was Gateway.
Was it Gateway?
It was Gateway they parked him. That was the, why can't I learn? Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was Pocono.
No, that was Pocono.
They pulled him off the track at Pocono.
Ganassi parked him and TK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That pretty much pissed TK off last year when they did that. Yeah. We were at Pocono and we saw that and went, seriously? Okay. TK's going to put it in the wall?
Well, yeah. I mean, but...
Watch out for those... Hashtag watch out for those 40 cars.
I mean, this year, maybe, yeah. He's got...
He's got something to prove with Foyt.
You know what this proves, though? I will say this. Okay, so to just skip forward to Foyt and we'll...
I'll cut you off.
No, this is what happens.
But how we talked about how there was a haint on Connor's car.
Yes.
It is a haint on that car.
It is.
I think we've determined it was not Connor, which is what we said last year. It's that fucking car.
That 14 car?
The 4.
The 4.
The 4.
The 4 car has a haint on it.
Oh, with the lost. What's his name?
Matthias Lost.
Lost. Why do you call him? His name's Lost.
Because his tire flew away.
But the guy was waving. OFF.
It flew the fuck off.
No, his pit guy was waving. Don't drop the car.
Don't drive.
No, don't drop the car. And they dropped the car and he took off.
One tire wasn't screwed on and the tire went out and like hit the wall and then came back.
No caution on that.
Well, it was all within pit lane.
But he's lucky he didn't get a pit penalty. And what did he do later?
He did get a stop and hold.
Did he?
Oh, he got a stop.
And he put it in the wall later.
He killed an official.
Yeah, he almost killed an official.
When he did that.
The tire wasn't rolling that fast.
No. When he started to take off and he only had 3 of the 4 tires, he did.
No, that fourth tire was on the car.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was. Go back and look at the video.
You go back and look at the video.
He left the pit. The tire... went away.
He rolled away after he pulled out of the pit stop.
So he's out of his pit box.
Yeah.
He's still in pit lane.
Yeah. You're right. I saw that.
Around and he nearly hit an IndyCar official.
What's the pit speed?
I don't know what the...
45, 50?
But it was a...
At that track...
Hey, wait. 50 mile an hour will kill somebody, though, if you hit him with a tire, though.
And he spun the car. Like, it was... Right. He was going 50. Like, the car went... Shoop,
it was almost comical.
It was comical.
No, almost.
I mean, I thought it was fun.
I love AJ.
I love AJ as well, but this is not AJ. This is Matthias Lace,
right. But it's his, AJ hired his crew. Well, no, he didn't.
Larry,
his son did.
Larry hired the crew. Right. Your rosé is bad, Larry. Right. And your life decisions are bad. And apparently,
right,
Foyt team is not better off than what they were last year, because I don't recall one of their drivers losing a tire last year and nearly killing people in the pits.
Yeah.
I mean.
Okay.
So anyway, Mateus got a stop and hold penalty. Is what I
he Mateus probably
Mateus placed, aka my tires lost.
My tires lost. We got to tweet that. We got to tweet that the Doug.
Oh, we will. Cool.
Tomorrow,
my tires lost.
So that happened. Mateus was definitely. I don't even know.
I think the kid is very good, though.
The problem is, I think he's just young.
Did he come from Indy Lights? Did I miss him last year?
He had time in Indy Lights, and maybe he just needed another year.
How much sponsorship did he bring to that team?
Well, here's the interesting fact about drivers from other countries, because he's a Brazilian driver and Tony is a Brazilian driver.
Right.
Those countries actually chip in money for their
drivers. That's what I'm saying. How much sponsorship did he bring?
So actually, he actually brought a lot from Brazil. There was an article about this. And so like, the fact that it's all like Team Brazil at AJ Foyt, like, they both have even extra sponsorship. So, like, as excited as we as a country get about the Olympics, like, that's how excited Brazil gets about any sport of any driver.
I'm not mad one bit about Brazil sponsoring their cars. Their teams, their drivers, or anything.
I mean, I wish that we were more like that.
But that's a lot of his money coming
from that country. That's fine. Because the more we can do, the more other countries will bring in that. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. So no, I 100% agree, but that's a lot of where his sponsorship comes from, is he gets money. There's, from his, kind of think of it like a grant almost.
Right.
Like they're helping fund the car.
Scholarship.
But they're not going to have their sponsorship on there.
Again, I'm not mad about that. No, Believe me, I love Brazil being in this. Because, they're very passionate about the racing.
100%. But that's why he doesn't have to go out and find all of these smaller companies to help fund everything that comes in with the car, because Brazil is paying this money. So he doesn't have to have sponsorship.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't have to go to the lengths that American drivers have to go to find sponsorship to have rides.
Again, like I said, I'm not mad about
that. No, I mean, it's great. I think it's fantastic. I think Mateus,
as long as they're qualified drivers, which at this point in the season, I
feel like
at one time during the qualifications, he was number one.
Well, at one and point he did in well. Time, everybody was. I mean,
well, no, he wasn't. I mean, he did well. What did he qualify?
I mean, at one point in time, Buddy Lazier won the Indy 500.
No, qualified first at 181.817. Kyle Kaiser came in second at right after him and hit 182.859.
And our pole speed ended up being 188 something. How many people was under that speed?
Everybody. Everybody was under the pole speed. We had 23 cars, so 22 people were under the pole speed of 188.539.
Yeah.
But he didn't do bad.
He's a kid.
He needed another year.
Right, he's a kid.
He needed
and I I'll grant you that. He's
it.
A kid.
He needed just that moment to, all right, you're on your way, but maybe another year to, like, marinate.
Yeah.
Right.
What it is. It's like, yeah, he just needed to marinate a little bit more.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was weird, and on top of all the other pit
kerfluffles.
This was the pit race.
This was the pit race.
She's using big words again.
Kerfluffles.
Kerfluffle is one of Molly's favorite words, and I love when
I
she uses
love
it.
Love kerfluffle.
Every time you use it, I'm like, oh, I love that word.
It's a great word. Oh, we forgot to mention that the race started with Sebastian Bourdais having a problem with his car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Seabass.
Didn't even hit the parade lap.
Did not. And in fact,
stalled.
His car stalled. And I will say, shout out to Wickens' pit crew, who, like, he tried to go and then died and, like, came back in. And they were like, it's cool, bro. We got you. And, like, pushed him back out, gave him the start he needed. And
but did you hear what they said? It's on you now. We have no telemetry. That's what they told him. Mm-hmm. We have no telemetry on your car. Because he had to do a hard reboot.
Did he have to do a restart?
Yeah. They said, we have no telemetry.
That's what I figured.
And they said, it's on you to do your, whatever you need to do, do it. Hit and I went, restart. I thought, shouldn't that be with every driver?
Well, there should be a, have you tried turning it off and then turning it back on again?
But no, I just mean every driver should get, you know what I said? Kimi Räikkönen.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yep.
Shut up.
Just cool.
I got this.
Count to 10, turn your car back on again, and then just keep going.
Because that's what Kimi did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got this.
Nobody messes with Kimi. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I've met Seabass so many times. He is.
He just seems like
perfect a gentleman,
oh,
and he is
good
so.
Guy.
And yeah. I walk up to him with my shirt on.
Well, that means he really likes you.
Well, did we not at Petit Le Mans last year?
Yeah,
we walked right up to him. He had his family around. Can we get a picture with him? Yes, I can.
He's a good.
And
guy.
His family was with him, and I had that shirt on.
I appreciate
Fuck you from Indianapolis.
Fuck you from Indianapolis.
I appreciate
And he gave us 5 minutes.
Because you know what? Because the French aren't worried about the word fuck.
No.
They feel like my grandmother, that your kids are going to hear it one way or another, and it's up to you to teach them, and it's not okay for them to say it.
Well, that's my genre, though. With the fuck you from Indianapolis. So.
Sure.
But yeah, so Bourdais, he had the pit kerfluffle.
He had two pit kerfluffles.
Yeah.
Really?
Starting out, almost didn't start, and then...
Then he hit his...
He hit a pit crew member.
Tire change member.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was not a good race for pits.
So
I'll tell you what, though.
Who are we in charge of? Who's in points to lead now? Is he still up there?
I don't know.
Because he won pole?
Well, I'll tell you what pisses me off is that...
I didn't even see.
So Molly and I make our choices, but we also are both part of Fantasy IndyCar Leagues. And... I chose Bourdais on my fantasy league because he won at St. Pete and because he won the pole and he had done so well. And I was like, sure. And for 75% of the race, I felt real good about that. And my pick of Simon Pagenaud mm-hmm. on my fantasy league as well, which I didn't make on my FCFG pick. And they fucked me. Both those Frenchies fucked me. and not in the way I'd like. I 100% regret my choices for my fantasy league.
Standings are Newgarden, Rossi,
yep.
Bourdais, Ray Hall, Ryan Hunter, way your first top five in overall.
Right,
standings.
I'm seeing
Ooh,
that.
Ray Hall number four.
Yep.
Five?
Did I say
it was
RHR?
RHR
wow.
is five. Oh, sorry. Yeah,
looking at
four.
These standings now.
Too many R's.
We have a Chevrolet, yeah. Honda, 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 Honda. Honda,
oh, get
and then we go to Chevrolet, and there are two Chevrolets in the top nine.
But you know what one of them is? The number one.
Somebody found out how to handle road courses, and I'm very happy about this.
Well, I hear you.
In the top ten, we have two Chevrolets.
It was a dark season.
But one of them is number one. So,
We're two races in.
Sorry. I'm a Chevrolet lover, and I want to see Chevrolet do well. Because if you don't do well, they'll pull. Honda's in here for the long haul. I really believe that. And don't get me wrong. I love Honda for being... when we only had one engine, Honda was there. Uh-huh. And I love that for being there. But I do love Chevrolet, and that's all I am, is General Motors guy, so...
Let's see. What else?
All right. Who was it that on the radio said, fucking Rossi?
Power did. When Rossi cleanly passed Will Power, and Will was upset because Rossi was a lap down and trying to work his way back up and was passing people.
Which he did.
Which is cold racing, by
the
way.
He got his lap back.
Power. Fucking Rossi.
Because he cleanly passed him, by the way, and then for some reason, I don't know, a gremlin took over...
Will's car, and he decided to smash it into the wall.
And he decided to blame it on somebody else.
Oh, and because Will never accepts that things are his fault.
Can we?
I just want to say, Will Power makes it so hard to be a fan of Will Power.
Right?
And.
Especially with that, when he did that years ago.
I mean, no, that makes me love him. The double bird makes me actually like him
the
more.
The double fingers.
But, like, everybody talks about how much Danica bitched when she was an IndyCar driver.
Oh, my God. We're going
to
hear that again.
I'd love to see a side-by-side of Danica and Will Power. Because I'm 100% sure that Will wins on over-bitching.
But, I mean, he bitched. It was a clean pass.
Oh, it was a clean pass. Fucking Rossi.
Okay.
Suck a dick, Will.
All right. Can I interject something? And I don't have a clue because they didn't talk about this during the race. I saw pre-race the winds were going to be atrocious. Going to be really bad coming down the straightaway and across.
Well, and they talked about that.
They were talking about the winds were going to be really bad tonight. Yeah. I mean, good God, the race was started over 90.
Yeah,
what was it? No, 90-something degrees the race was supposed to start. What is like 90 degrees like now? We don't have a clue. What did you say what we're dealing with right now?
27
degrees in Indianapolis.
I could turn the oven on if you want to know what 90 feels like.
I'd like to feel what 50 feels like right now. But
seriously,
they said the winds were going to be crazy today. And I don't know if they talked about that during the race.
I don't feel like they played a huge factor.
But they could have.
They could
we don't
have.
Know because they never talked about it.
Yeah, it wasn't mentioned, which is rare.
Which they never know. They don't, I don't really. I don't know very many races they talk about anything about the wind.
They, I know for like qualifying last year at the 500,
right?
They played a bit, and they
Indianapolis
about
is always in that concept
the
about the winds because the winds change so much.
Yeah. Well, and because between 2 and 3. There's no structures on the infield.
Right.
And you don't have stands for most of the outfield.
Right.
Of the back straightaway. And so the winds, that's usually where it catches you, is
in Indianapolis, we have so many different variables.
Yeah.
With all the different winds and everything.
We really do.
We don't have a clue. I mean, you don't have a clue.
No. And the temperature, because we have the humidity, whereas Phoenix doesn't have humidity.
No, they might have the stupidity.
Anything that's just IndyCar fans in general.
No, that's taxicab fans. Sorry.
Willpower was out. Screwed my fantasy league.
Willpower fucked your fantasy league for
every,
sure.
Every race, if I pick Will, he does bad. If I don't pick him, he does
he wins.
So I don't know what to do anymore.
Stop picking him. You like him?
I do.
Don't pick
Will.
Him.
I know. But then I get yelled at by certain members of my family when I don't pick Will for my choices.
But you're like that fan that like can't watch their team play because every time you watch they fuck up.
That's exactly it. That's how I am with Will.
I do that with the Pacers.
Team Canada, big J for Team Canada.
Team Canada slash
Team
BFF,
BFF, which needs to be brought back.
Yeah, we're bringing it back.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, I'm gonna make fetch happen. Hashtag Team BFF.
They had a great. I mean, for a while it was Rossi. Or jeez, OP. I'm looking at my notes.
Yeah, Rossi's not a Team Canada.
No,
he is not. he is on Ask Off Track. But no. For a while it was Hinch, then Wickens, and then Wickens passed Hinch.
Then Wickens passed Hinch.
And then it was Wickens and Hinch, and so I was like, all right, fine.
And then Hinch got back, and then Wickens went back in front,
but they
and
led
it was
for some time,
for quite a while. The SPM boys, I mean, they really ran the front end of that field.
They did.
They
give you credit for that. Those guys were
great.
They
did extremely well.
I am beyond on board with SPM.
I actually wanted both of them to qualify a little bit better than they did. I mean, they didn't have poor qualifying, but they didn't do as well as I thought they should have. And I think Wickens, especially after St. Pete, was ready to come back and prove himself and say, you know,
he did well.
I'm not well. Exactly.
Very well. Yeah.
Like, I'm not that guy that's going to do well for most of the race and then fuck it up right at the end. Like, I think that he really needed a great win under his belt, and tonight was that.
I agree.
And I mean, the dude can drive.
He really can.
Oh, he absolutely can drive. And honestly, I thought the race was his until Joey New came the fuck out
new
of
tires.
Nowhere.
But a new tire.
Do you remember that?
Restart.
Sam Hornish doing that at the 500.
Yeah.
Pasamarco. Yes.
Yep.
And I like one thing. I love the commercials.
Yes.
With James Hinchcliffe.
Yes.
But the thing is, they need to promote him more. I mean, they're doing a great job, Honda is. Mm-hmm. I said Honda.
I know you did. It's fine.
Sorry.
No, they really do. I think he's...
They're doing a great job with him.
He's a very promotable driver.
He really is. And he's so personable. He's so nice.
I mean, I was already a fan of his because he's so personable. And then last year, I saw him at Pocono.
Yeah.
During the pain tour.
Yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah.
That dude is awesome.
Very good.
I
will never. And then last year, and then off on top of that, last year when we went to Pocono, not when Pocono, I'm sorry, when we went to Mid Ohio, when we went you two.
Yeah.
He came out of his trailer to talk to Chucky. Everybody knows Chucky. newspaper guy that rides around at the Speedway. Chucky.
Yeah.
He came out of his trailer in his socks.
Obviously.
To talk to us. And I was like,
he's cool.
He is
he's all right.
Very good guy. I mean, he
you
is.
You know what? As my dad would say.
Straight up dude.
As my dad would say, he's pretty cool in my book.
He's a straight up dude.
He is.
He really is.
James Hinchcliffe, I will love him forever.
Yeah.
Even if he's doing the Honda.
No. I'm a fan.
Definitely.
I mean, as a podcast, we fucking love Hinchcliffe.
Yes.
And so to know that Wickens is one of his best friends. And
he's Team Canada. He's Team Canada.
Yeah, Team Canada, Team BFF, and the two of them, I just love it.
It's a very fun relationship because at one point you see them like encouraging each other and like really going for it. Like there's really cute moments between the two of them. And at the same time, though, they're out there competing against
against one another.
So it's really great. I think it's a very strong bond.
When they got side by side tonight, mm-hmm. No, we're not going to. Hinchcliffe backed off. You're not going to put your teammate in the wall.
I mean, that's how you, like, you, at the end of the day, you don't want to put your teammate in the wall.
No, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to, but don't put him in a wall.
No.
Yeah.
You can't
so
do
you
that.
So you got to lift, so it's good. No, it's.
But now we go back to that. We did have some side-by-side racing at the end.
We did.
It was close at the end.
Oh, my gosh. And from the last green, which was less than 10 laps to go.
Yeah, right.
Like 7 or 8 laps, maybe. Joseph Newgarden out of fucking nowhere.
Nope. Where did he come from? The stands.
I mean, he was just hanging out in the top 10.
The stands. He just went, it's time for me to do my thing.
Yep.
I'm about to dip.
He did.
See, that's like, go back to Hornish.
He's the one guy that, like, at every party you were at, managed to leave right before the cops got called. Like, he was that dude. Like, he's like, he just looks around.
It's time for me to go.
I'm about to dip.
I was thinking more like...
Adel said, he's gone. The cops are there. You don't know how the fuck he knew. He's just gone. That's Joseph Newgarden in this race.
I was thinking more like the bat signal lit up and he was like, oh, okay, let me end this.
It's time to get this bitch going.
Let's go. And let's, just passed every... I don't even know what position he came from.
But I mean, he was hanging in the
fifth,
top...
Fifth
no,
or sixth?
No, he was hanging in the top 10. But I remember that I was yelling that he wasn't close enough because I picked him... On our bet, not in any of my fantasy leagues, of course, fuck me. But in our bet, I picked him for number one, and I only get points if he podiums. And I was like, wherever he is, it's not fucking close enough.
And he just, all of a sudden, there it was. There it was. You blinked and it was...
And he's like, passes. I mean, right. I thought it was going to be... As soon as it went green, I was like, Rossi's going to win this motherfucker.
All the passes were on the outside.
Yeah. They were, which is... Baller. I mean, that's a badass move.
When he did that last year when he passed Simon?
Yep.
Gateway.
At Poke Gateway? Yeah. It was on the inside.
He was on the inside.
On the inside. He passed on the outside.
He made passes at Mid-Ohio on the outside because we saw it. We were in, whatever it's called. Anyhow, we know where we were.
Yeah, it matters in our world.
Right? I'm like, it was something. And there was a curve.
And a TV stand.
And a screen. Somewhere in Ohio. There were other people there.
It's pretty much other hills.
We were at the top of a hill.
We're at the top of a hill.
I'm not talking about the big hill.
Yeah.
Coming up the big hill with the TV stand.
No, by the campgrounds.
The big hill.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the race ended. Newgarden, Wickens, Rossi, Dixon, RHR in your top five. Newgarden won, but I really think that this race belonged to Wickens. Again, like St. Pete.
I mean, you know what? I thought that it did until Newgarden pulled all the moves that he pulled.
I mean,
because...
I won't say that Newgarden's at the end were not fantastic, but it can't... I mean...
If everybody took new tires, how would it changed?
Oh, my God.
Because he took new tires.
He did take new tires.
And was Chevrolet versus
because...
Honda?
No, because...
Would it came out because we got Chevrolet, Honda, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that there was somebody else Honda. Who pitted... At the beginning of the yellow, who got new tires? And who was it?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either. But there was somebody else that's in the top five that got new tires at the beginning of the yellow, and Newgarden got new tires near the end of the yellow. And so I don't feel like those, you know, four laps made
new tires made a difference.
I don't feel like four laps of new tires made a difference, though. I think
it's power?
And I think that Newgarden outdrove the rest of them. I think that it doesn't matter.
He went on the outside every time, passed.
So I don't think that Newgarden...
He passed two cars on one turn.
I don't think that it matters whether he's driving a Chevy or a Honda. I think Newgarden's just a fucking beast.
He's got something to prove. The kid's good.
The kid's good. No, I will not say that Newgarden
is not good. He didn't have good instincts, Sarah Fisher wouldn't have paid his ride the first 2 years.
You're right.
But, I mean, he wouldn't be anybody IndyCar if Sarah Fisher and Ed Carpenter hadn't thought that he had shit.
Is fantastic. No, I will.
He's good.
He's very good.
And Sarah Fisher and Ed Carpenter. Well, and I love that. Like when Newgarden won, you said Ed drove by and kind of gave him a nod, like nice win. You know, because
Ed came up at the end too, but he didn't have new tires.
Ed came up, but he
fell back.
He was seventh at the very end. Ed came in seventh.
I mean, he was. I mean, like, he wasn't going to challenge for the win, but he came up.
But finally, the oval expert decided to be an oval expert, finishing the top.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But, I mean, St. Pete, I think deep down, while Wickens is a rookie with IndyCar, he drove DTM, and so that does road courses. Well, this was his first oval, and to show what he did, I really think that he's...
I'll give him kudos, because the kid did good.
I think he did very well, never having driven an oval in competition before.
Yeah.
He did well. He did very well. I'll give him like this.
Thank you, dude. With these cars that are harder to drive, and even the experienced drivers,
no downforce in that DTM series.
No,
not like you got an IndyCar.
No,
right. So this fitting in his book.
Yeah,
he's doing a fantastic job. So
I'd look out for that kid.
Oh no,
he may not do well at Indianapolis. But I'll give him credit after Indianapolis.
I say you never know, though.
Right.
I mean,
I'll give Bourdais. Bourdais's got Indianapolis figured out right now. Of all the drivers.
I don't know.
No, he's got the Honda's got the power.
Honda has the 500.
They figured it out. Like I said before, I'm not going to get mad at Honda because Honda took care of this series.
And as I was going to say, is the track chooses the driver. And the thing is that
May will choose the driver.
Dale Coyne has had a lot of drivers who have done really well in
quals. He deserves an Indy 500 win.
I'm not saying the Seabass doesn't. I just don't think that this year's his year.
Dale Coyne deserves a 500 win. Do you not agree? He's not got a 500 win.
I don't feel any emotional attachment towards Dale Coyne.
I honestly
don't care one way or the other if Dale Coyne ever gets an 8500.
You know, I am a Chevrolet guy. Down deep, always have been, will always be. But Dale Coyne deserves to win the 500. Because I want to see that guy get up there on that podium. And I want Seabass, I love him.
Yeah.
He needs to, his resume needs to get one in any of us 500 win.
A few people.
I mean, I agree with that. I just don't think that this year's his year. It'd be awesome if it was, though, since he got taken on quals. Like, if he came back and won this year, that'd be baller.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I also feel like if this was Alio's fourth win, I mean...
Oh, I'd love to see that.
There's so many people this year that I would love to see win, is the hard part.
Yeah.
I would love to see Castroneves win one.
I mean, if we're there for when, that when, with, win...
I mean, I've seen three of the four.
Oh, see, I haven't seen any of them. I know it's hard for me because there's so many people that I would love to see win this year.
Last year I was really upset when Castroneves didn't win. Because I wanted to see him climb the fence one more time. Mm-hmm. And I hope to see that.
I hope so, too.
Because I want to be there and I'll cry, too.
Oh, I think we all will. It's a very...
Loves Coke may not. She will. Because she'll just stand beside him and go, it's okay, Brian. It's okay.
It's all right.
Loves Coke works at the 500, too, so.
I'll let you cry on my shoulder.
It'd be tears of joy.
All right. So the race. So Newgarden, he really...
He came out of nowhere to win it, so that was exciting.
He really did come out of nowhere. That last green... Yeah, once it finally went green, that last green flag was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, any other thoughts you have?
I think we hit it all. My big thing was the Foyt issue, and that we both lost on the first out points.
Yeah, we sure did.
Pietro Fittipaldi.
Yeah, Fittipaldi.
Which I hated to see that. I thought the kid was going to do well.
I didn't hate to see it at all, because he has said that he wants, his end goal is to race in
F1.
Formula One. And this is IndyCar. And so I have said, not on this podcast, but off of this podcast to my co-host many times, that if he doesn't even want to be in IndyCar, I don't care about him. There are other people who should have his seat.
He's a paid driver. He's paying his way. So.
Like, I just don't even care. So, am I sad that he's out? No. Am I happy? A little bit. But I'm a little sad because I picked Laced.
Yeah.
Although he was second out, and... Or he was the cause of the second yellow. Yeah, so... Yeah, so thank you, Gabe, who tweeted last week.
Laced.
Yellow flag, Laced.
Just practicing.
Was that Gabe
just
today?
Just practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
at Gabe Vanderburr.
Yeah.
Just practicing.
That was the funniest thing that I read all week on Twitter. Just practicing. Because it's the first of many.
Well, so the race was good, and we are in the middle of a back-to-back-to-back.
Back-to-back-back.
Back-to-back-to-back.
And then we got, what is it?
May.
It's called a week off, and then...
It's
the month of May.
So I'm very excited about that.
If when we were talking about our picks for this week, if you were lost, it's because you don't follow us on social media. And if you don't, you should, because if you think we're funny here, we're fucking hilarious there. So we are on Twitter at FastCarsN317. We are on Instagram at FastCarsFastGirls and on Facebook, Facebook.com/FastCarsFastGirls. If you missed all of that or you just skipped through it, then you can just check out our website, mm-hmm. FastCarsFastGirls.com. You can subscribe from there. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
And you can find all of our social media, including our Snapchat, which is only activated during race weekends that we are in person for.
Yeah.
So otherwise, it just is dormant. So if you send us a message on that Snapchat, well...
We didn't get it.
I'll see you at the Grand Prix.
Yep.
So, FastCarsFastGirls.com. You can find us on all of your podcast hosting sites. All right, moving on. So, Long Beach.
Long Beach is a temporary street course, so similar to
St. Pete.
It's
already set up.
It's already set up.
They've
been working on it. Yeah.
They've been already having go-kart races and everything, right?
They're working in Long Beach already on it. 12 mm-hmm. turns, 85 laps for a total of 167 miles. What's fun about this track is it's actually one of the longest continuous races in IndyCar history. The race started out in 1975 as a Formula 500 event. It continued on, 65.
It went to F1 for a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in 67 it became a Formula 1 race. It was actually inspired by Monaco, which I always find is very kind of cool. In 84 it became a kart event. 84 is a pretty cool year. Just put that out there for everybody.
Yeah, 84.
What's up?
And we're
84.
In a Frank years.
Birthday year.
Oh, okay, your birthday. Your birth year. Yeah.
But it's also one of the years that Rick Mears won the Indy 500, so it's a pretty baller year.
Pretty good year for us. And in 2009 it became an IndyCar event. So let's see, in 2015, kind of looking at the past three races, just to kind of give a little history. Dixon won. Castroneves came in second. And Juan was third.
My message is Juan of importance.
No track dryer
involved. Elio was actually in the lead, but at one point he was pitting, and he actually got held by his people in the pit because TK was pulling into his pit, which is right in front of Elio's.
Ah.
So that was kind of a little kerfluffle.
Kerfluffle. In 2016, mm-hmm. Your podium was Pagano, Dixon, and Castroneves.
Yeah.
Pagano actually made a pass on Dixon when he dipped below the line at the exit of pit lane. Race control did not, however, penalize.
No. And it actually turned out to be one of the closest finishes in that race's history. There was a 0.3202 seconds between Pagano and Dixon.
Did Hinch win it last year?
Hinch won it last year. It was his first win after his Indy 500 incident.
Always love Hinch.
Always love Hinch. Yeah, so last year it was Hinch, Bourdais, and Newgarden. And actually last year all Andretti Autosport cars had to retire because they had some issues.
Hmm.
Yeah, the official hashtag is TGPLB. They're killing me with these hashtags.
TGPLB, the Grand Prix, Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. I mean, but that's just for goddamn ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, okay, RGGD, whatever. We're goddamn ridiculous.
Just toy, like maybe Long Beach GP, but I guess they have to put Toyota in there.
We're goddamn ridiculous.
I bet Toyota has to be in there. It's a whole sponsorship thing. So
yeah,
I don't know.
All right, so our picks. So I'm gonna say first, mm-hmm. I'm picking Hinch.
Yeah,
he won last year. He did well.
Did well.
He did very well in Phoenix. I'm saying Hinch.
Okay.
Top five, Newgarden.
Yep.
Because
it's Newgarden.
It's Newgarden.
Hashtag just Newgarden things.
Hashtag just Joey things, yeah. And then top 10, I'm saying Wickens. Yeah. I don't know if he'd be top five, and so I didn't want to just like throw him there. But I think that he's not going to make a poor showing by any stretch of the imagination. He did extremely well at St. Pete.
Yeah.
He did well in this oval, and I think that we can only see good things from Wickens going out.
Yeah.
First out, you took mine, so I went ahead and went with Kimball, because...
I mean, took yours.
You took mine, and I figure let's just let the Kimball hate just stretch the whole episode.
Let the hate grow.
So I'm gonna say Kimball. Somebody's getting Kimballed. Yeah.
Maybe just Kimball.
Hopefully, just him.
You don't know.
Doubtful.
So I picked Wickens for first. I just feel like he's been the bridesmaid these past two races. It's time. Like I feel like
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, he did so great in St. Pete, except for that wiggle in the last, you know, the first turn a little. I do have Rossi for top five because I wanted him first, but I think this is Wickens' race. Hinch for top 10 because hashtag Team Canada.
Team Canada, Team BFF.
And I think that laced us first out just because he's just too young for me right now.
Smart money's on Laced for sure.
So
Mateus Laced. My tires lost.
And if you're going to play the drinking game with us, as many of you did, apparently, so stock up.
Yep, and you're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And you can expect many more of these as the season continues. So this race, Long Beach.
First, anytime they mention how long or anything about the length that this race has been going on.
Yeah, the number of years has been going on for X number of years, and this and this, the longest running, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's a drink.
That's definitely a drink.
Anytime.
Audience participation for the second one.
Yes.
Thanks to Indy 500 Pirate. Anytime.
And Loves Coke.
Yes.
So anytime they talk about how Wickens is doing well, quote unquote, as a rookie.
Or if they maybe even just mention the strength of the rookie teams, if you want to get real, real feisty in your drinking.
Yeah, anytime they discuss the rookies. Rookies
are going to be a force this year.
That's a drink.
Course. That's a drink. You just saying that, that's a drink.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Pirate poison.
There you go.
And the last one is...
The weather.
Yeah. When they discuss the weather, because it's springtime,
it's supposed to be springtime in Indianapolis.
Exactly. And so when they discuss the difference between Cali and Indy,
or
just discuss springtime in general, or just the weather in general, that's a drink.
Especially if they say something about sunny California.
Yeah.
That's
a twofer.
Yeah.
That's a waterfall.
It's actually. Supposed to be by the end of the week here, 70 degrees.
Well, we'll see.
Supposed to be.
It's Indiana.
If they mention that our weather's in the 70s on
that's
the
a whole
race
glug.
Broadcast.
That's a whole glug.
That's a finish your drink.
Yes.
That's a finish your drink.
Oh boy.
I want to thank the Fast Girls for letting me sit in. And it's 3:30 in the morning now.
I know. So what do you got for your final thought?
All right, white flag.
I want to thank you.
Waving the white flag.
Thank you, girls, for letting me sit in because it's been fun and I always love to sit in with you.
Always.
And Loves Coke likes it too.
Loves Coke.
There you go, Deborah. Finally.
Anything you would like to add?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
My final thoughts. I'm just so giddy about Team Canada / Team BFF. Yeah. I love Hinch and I just love Wickens just as much. And I'm really excited to see their team
do extremely well.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see them do extremely well. And everybody knows that I'm a very big, Joey New fan. So,
oh yeah,
I love this one for him and I'm glad that he's coming back. I mean, second race of the season, just coming back strong. So I'm excited to see what the next couple weeks bring. And I'm real fucking excited.
I would like
for
to see warm weather.
Well, we all would.
Yeah, and people in hell want ice water.
There you go, girl.
That's what God said to me the last time I asked for spring in Indiana. He said, yeah, well, people in hell want ice water. All right, go ahead, Molly. What are your final thoughts?
My white flag thought is this. To anybody who doesn't find any car races exciting, GTFO, because this was a very exciting
exactly.
race.
Exactly.
It was.
I'm tired of people who just complain about races. You know what? Watch the race. Enjoy the race.
Raise the roof.
These are people who are driving at an incredible speed. They're making passes. And
that's why I don't have a fan. Not a person fan.
Just the whole...
I love the series.
I just love to watch the race and
all
honestly, these guys doing something I want to do.
If you don't find it interesting, if you don't find it exciting, and you're in the Annapolis area, then hit us up because...
You're obviously watching
race. You need to come here.
You're doing it wrong. You need to hang out with us. Because
yeah, you need to come to Annapolis during the month of May and find out what
it
shit
is
it's
exciting.
On.
Yeah.
This series of racing...
It's great.
It's there's it's nothing season. Better. There's nothing faster... There's nothing better.
Yep. So.
In the month of May, we'll always be there. And hopefully, these fast girls will be there.
Oh, we'll be there.
Obviously.
Because they are the bomb.
You guys are going to be there.
Always.
Oh, they'll be there.
Perfect.
They'll be there.
Then it's going to be good. Thanks cool. for listening. Let's wave the checkered flag.
I thought we were done.
Finally, you're really safe.